My mother had a saying for every occasion, and Steve remembers them all, I can hear my wife, Tabitha, say with an accompanying roll of her eyes. One of Mom's favorites was, milk always takes the flavor of what it sits next to in the icebox. I don't know if that's true about milk, but it's certainly true when it comes to the stylistic development of young writers. When I was a young man, I wrote like H.P. Lovecraft when I was reading Lovecraft, and like Ross MacDonald when I was reading The Adventures of P.I. Lou Archer. Stylistic copying eventually wanes. Little by little, writers develop their own styles, each as unique as a fingerprint. Traces of the writers one reads in one's formative years remain, but the rhythm of each writer's thoughts, an expression of his or her very brainwaves, I think, eventually becomes dominant. In the end, no one sounds like Elmore Leonard but Leonard, and no one sounds like Mark Twain but Twain. Yet, every now and then, stylistic copying recurs, always when the writer encounters some new and wonderful mode of expression that shows him a new way of seeing and saying. Salem's Lot was written under the influence of James Dickey's poetry, and if Rose Madder sounds in places as if it were written by Cormac McCarthy, it's because while I was writing that book, I was reading everything by McCarthy I could get my hands on. In 2009, an editor at the New York Times Book Review asked if I would do a double review of Raymond Carver, A Writer's Life by Carol Sklenica, and Carver's own collected stories as published by Library of America. I agreed, mostly so I could explore some new territory. Although I am an omnivorous reader, I had somehow missed Carver, a large blind spot for a writer who came of literary age at roughly the same time Carver did, you might say, and you would be right. All I can say in my own defense is, quote libros, quam breve tempus. So many books, so little time. And yes, I have the t-shirt. In any case, I was stunned by the clarity of Carver's style and by the beautiful tension of his prose line. Everything is on the surface, but that surface is so clear that the reader can see a living universe just beneath. I loved those stories, and I loved the American losers Carver wrote about with such knowledge and tenderness. Yes, the man was a drunk, but he had a sure touch and a great heart. I wrote Premium Harmony shortly after reading more than 24 Carver stories, and it should come as no surprise that it has the feel of a Carver story. If I had written it at 20, I think it would have been no more than a blurred copy of a much better writer. Because it was written at 62, my own style bleeds through, for better or worse. Like many great American writers, Philip Roth and Jonathan Franzen come to mind, Carver seemed to have little sense of humor. I, on the other hand, see the humor in almost everything. The humor here is black, but in my opinion, that's often the best kind, because, dig it, when it comes to death, what can you do but laugh?